Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where electric vehicle enthusiasts talk about all things EVs and technology. Will is not with us tonight, but we have Chase here. My name's Eric. And so right before we came on, we were talking about how Chase once again has gone viral. It's Well, let me show the clip real quick. But how many months has it been since you recorded this? Let me get this
August.
So right here, you could see that the official Cybertruck X account posted a Chase's video of him jumping a Cybertruck. You said in August? This was around August?
Yeah, initially when I posted this, then it's been like pinned up in my account for a while now. And I think a couple of accounts like had just got aware of it and reshared it, and then it made the rounds enough where, you know, the official Cybertruck account was like, oh hey, and jumped on it. But at least this way, it actually shows from me, like it is tagged me in the video, which is
yeah,
cool.
Down here, so you can see it says from Chase. So
I'm cool with it. Yeah, I got a lot of cool. Questions of people that had never seen this before, and they're like, oh, what rap is that? And all these other things. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. Well, I didn't realize that the official Cybertruck X account had posted this.
Mm-hmm.
On my IG account, I kept getting, I follow a lot of Cybertruck owners and accounts, mm-hmm. and I was getting a lot of that in my stories and on the reels of your... of your video, the jump of your Cybertruck. And so I was messaging everybody back going, hey, give Chase credit. You just posted it. You didn't even say who did this. And so, but I think that's pretty cool that, you're finally getting your flowers, as they say, from, Tesla and Cybertruck, official accounts. So, congratulations to you. This, nice. It says right here, 162,000, almost 163,000 views. So,
take it.
Months later, you're still going viral.
I was going to say, I think the initial one, because those view counts are only from the one that they post. But if I find my original, and it was up there, it was over 100,000, but it was also reshared by quite a few big channels. I was hoping to get a like or something from Elon just to like have that, satisfaction. But like, maybe maybe there's a way to like comb through this, Cybertruck video and see the likes of if it has Elon liked it or something like that. But
I was just hoping that, somewhere in here they would have like said, oh, at Cybertruck ATX, Chase from Keep On Cybertrucking podcast,
right?
Or,
Sheesh. And then I tagged on. Okay, so if you scroll down a little bit, yeah. that is some new footage that I dug up. I'm like, let's see
this one right here.
Yeah, so this is a POV, and you can hear the music we were jamming out to.
Yeah,
but this is the POV of one of those jumps that are in the video, and you can see like how just smooth it is. Like you don't really notice that you're in the air that high.
No,
and it's just done. Like it's crazy.
I love all the photographers on this.
Very brave to stay in that close to the track.
That's cool though. I love the fact that there's tracks like this, know, where you can go. It's a controlled environment.
Yep.
Don't need to necessarily go off the beaten path to get to it.
It's a truck track. Like all those tire ruts you're seeing like as I'm driving are from me. Like it was literally a fresh track, and even when we went out there, like the guy who owns the track, he sent one of his guys over to bring out the water truck, and they literally—I
was just going to
say—they went and they put fresh water down, so that's why it's not all super dusty.
Yeah, I was just going to say you could tell that the dirt's darker, mm-hmm. as out in this area.
Yeah,
which is cool because anybody that goes out to the desert and off-roads their trucks, they know that you get a lot of dust and dirt in your truck, and it just creates a big mess. So that's really cool.
It was a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. It's Cycle Ranch. They're the ones that really need the credit. Cycle Ranch in outside of San Antonio, Texas. So if you're in Central Texas, anywhere around there, go check them out. They every first Friday of the month, sorry, first Saturday of the month, they do Raptor runs. Like just basically a bunch of people bring their Raptors or any other 4x4 that has good suspension and runs that track and goes jumps and has a lot of fun. So
yeah, like
I forgot the idea. Or a Cybertruck.
Yeah, or a Cybertruck.
Which I guess I wasn't the first Cybertruck out there, but it's first one that we recorded, at least I know of.
It's the only one that matters.
Yeah. We're the first of the internet, the coolest looking one.
Exactly. Well, congratulations to you once again.
Thanks.
Another viral video. Well, same video going viral again. So
redo.
Happy for you. Speaking about events, let's talk about.
Yeah.
Let me pull it up here.
I remember another viral video that went around that it did also get some Elon attention. It went like viral on Reddit too and all over the place.
Yeah, if I could find the darn thing. Where did I put it? Okay, there it is. Let me pull this up real quick. I apologize. So right here, the Cybertruck Rodeo Part Deuce. Yeah, why don't you talk about, because you attended the first one, correct?
Well, I didn't. So that was the sad part that I didn't attend because I was spending the weekend with my wife. It was our anniversary. So okay. I couldn't make it to this one last year.
Okay.
But the good news is that it's a completely different weekend, a different month too. It's actually, they're having a little bit earlier. And this is going to be another take at it. It's going to be over at I guess it's not technically Domo because they had it at Domo last time and I'm seeing it's Dove Nest
And you mentioned that last year. What month was it last year? I don't remember.
It was in June.
Okay, so
it
was
June. So it is Domo. It is Domo. Never mind. A Domo Dove Nest Motorsports Club. And it's up it's kind of between Austin and Dallas. It's kind of like south of Waco, so it's closer to Austin than it is Dallas. But still, like, it's going to be, we're going to try to get up to, what, 500 Cybertrucks this time around?
That's,
and get a big convoy going.
That is bonkers. Because I remember when this happened originally, and the videos that were going viral, going online,
mm-hmm.
of, as you could see right here, all these Cybertrucks just shutting down the whole highway. And it's wild, you know, how many trucks. Mm-hmm. And you said that there was approximately 200 trucks last year?
Yeah, almost 200 last year. It was a lot. Because I think they wanted at least 100, and they got well over 100. So it was a good time.
And now they want 500. So I wonder what that's really going to look like.
Oh, yeah. But the biggest thing about this is kind of like Glamis in a way, where this is kind of a friendly event that, if you're curious about taking your truck off road, this is probably the safest way that you could do it in an environment that you have people around to help if anything would go wrong. Now, I know last time that they had a switchback track. Shoot, I bet I could find some of the clips that kind of, it gave people a chance to kind of like rip in the dirt and see what the Cybertruck could do.
Oh, they
had one, like it was an S curve, but I remember there was a clip where like one of the trucks was up on two wheels for quite a bit and still didn't flip over.
That's crazy. Well, let's give out the information for mm-hmm. people who aren't watching us, possibly listening to us. So it's happening on Saturday, April 12th mm-hmm. at 10 a.m. from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time.
Correct.
And it's at the Dove Nest Motorsports Club. If you want any information, you could reach out to the Tesla Owners Club of Austin, and I'm sure they'll pass along any information or answer any of your questions. But yeah, this is pretty cool. And
totally.
It's not a segue because we're going to stay here for a bit, but you mentioned Glamis. Want to let everybody know, I got a Glamis video coming out tomorrow.
Awesome.
So it'll be live tomorrow morning. And so you can check me out in Glamis, off-roading, doing some cool stuff with the Cybertruck. So that's out tomorrow. But I want to show because you also provided the track for this event. And so
yeah.
I want to pull that up because I think that's insane the way
it's exciting. It. You can even see on Google Earth how they're starting to, like, they've been starting to cut through this track. But this is essentially a rally track that they're building. You can see as like the top speeds are marked there on the track at 166 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, there's no way obviously the Cybertruck's not going that fast, but I don't think I'd be shocked to see some Cybertrucks get to max speed on the dirt, but we'll see. But I mean, the nice thing about this is it's kind of going, you know, at your own risk. So I think just the fun of just going around the track is, is going to be really cool. Feeling, you know, that the Cybertruck kind of give out in the back and having that little play in the dirt is always really, really fun.
Oh, I know very well in my adventures so far. But yeah, no, that, and I strongly encourage everybody to do these type of things. You know, we've had Brian, who runs the Cyber Odysseys, on a few times, and I've talked about his events multiple times. But I strongly encourage it because I know that there's a lot of people who have never owned a truck or have never done any off-roading. At the Cyber Odyssey in Glamis a few weeks ago when I went, I know there's a few guys there, and you know, we're all talking, having a good time, and you hear multiple times people go, I've never owned a truck before, and this is so cool. I've had so much fun at these Odysseys. You know, I've never done off-roading. And so now you're in an environment where there's people there who are experienced off-roaders, people who know what they're doing, and kind of can walk you through the steps of getting your truck set up properly. If you were to get stuck or have any issues, there's people there who will help you, you know, because let's be real, let's be honest. If you're in Glamis by yourself with a Cybertruck and you get stuck somewhere, good luck finding someone who's going to help you get out. You'll find somebody eventually, but I think you're going to get a lot of people just taking pictures of you and videos of you and then posting it. Look at this Cybertruck, they got stuck. And you don't want to deal with any of that.
Oh, totally.
So I, all these events, you know, I love this event here that's happening in April because it's on a track. It's in a controlled environment. There's going to be hundreds of Cybertrucks there. Everyone's going to be very helpful. And I could just imagine this being just an amazing event. So I highly, highly recommend and encourage people, if, you know, you live in the area or you want to make the drive, go do something like this. It's a lot of fun. You have the time of your life, for sure.
Totally. I'm going to convince them to let me bring up the Lightning and see what I can do off-road too.
Yeah.
It's either that or I'm going to be renting a Cybertruck and be going to try and find a way out there too.
Well, it's a good way for you to test out the Lightning as well, just to kind of, you know, you've done this type of stuff with the Cybertruck and now you could go do it with the Lightning. But it's, you know, like in Glamis, we had a Rivian. The day that I was there, I was only there for one day. We had a Rivian there. The day before, there was a Hummer there. The day after, a Silverado came out. So, you know, it's, you know, it doesn't necessarily just need to be Cybertrucks, but
EVs doing cool shit off-road. That's pretty much what it is.
That's, you know, that's the thing. So yeah, once again, that's happening on April 12th, and contact Tesla Owners Club of Austin if you want more information. Speaking of Cybertrucks and kind of the hate that Cybertrucks get, which if you own a Cybertruck, you know what I'm talking about. And it's not just Cybertrucks at this point, but there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world. There's a lot of things going on in the political space. And recently in Massachusetts, there was a supercharger that was mysteriously burnt, you know, lit on fire. And here, let me go ahead and click on this. Hopefully it's not too loud.
I don't think there's any mystery.
Yeah.
Maybe who did it, but I can tell you their motives.
Oh, 100%. But you can see right here, there's, you know, supercharger were lit on fire. And, you know, there's a lot of hate going around. There's a lot of vandalism. And as you saw there, a whole supercharger getting lit on fire. And it just, it's pretty wild to me. I understand that people, you know, may not agree with certain things and may not like certain things, but I just find it a little extreme to go and ruin property. Or, you know, we see a lot of times, and I think anybody who probably watches us or listens to us is probably aware of what's happening. And it's like Cybertrucks are constantly getting vandalized. You know, Teslas are constantly getting vandalized.
Yeah.
And it's getting kind of crazy.
At least with normal Teslas, you can, you know, you can kind of blend into other cars quite a bit. But like, I even saw one that was going around today from a guy named Nas that, he's saying he's owned his Cyberbeast for 3 months in Seattle, but has been, you know, flipped off, cut off, and has had his Cybertruck vandalized with stickers or people just writing stuff into it in, you know, the dust or whatnot. It's like, it's the same kind of stupidity thinking that you're going to you're going to get it, you know, Elon somehow by like messing with someone's personal property. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I guess if you wanted to like play devil's advocate, like burning the chargers somehow is like, I guess, better than just vandalizing someone's truck, but you're, I don't understand. Like, it doesn't make any sense either way.
Yeah.
People don't be assholes. Like, how hard is that?
No, 100%. And Mark is in chat, and hey, Mark, appreciate you joining us this week. But he mentions in chat that the chargers are already repaired and back online, and that is indeed impressive. The truth. They, in a 48-hour turnaround, Tesla was able to go in, fully repair all of the charging stalls, and get them up and running again. So big kudos to Tesla team for doing that, because I'm sure anybody that, you know, commuters or, you know, whatnot, they rely on those superchargers, and now having to reroute to go somewhere else was probably a pain. But Tesla got that done really quick. But, it shouldn't have to be that way. It shouldn't have to be where you have to go and repair these things and spend all that kind of money just because, there's some type of issues. But, talking about blending in a little bit more, well, I think some Tesla owners have taken that to a little bit of the extreme to try to disguise themselves. And as you can see here,
that's good.
There's some Cybertruck owners, Tesla owners that, and I'm sure this has been going on for a long time. I think this was a thing that was going around, people just having fun with their cars. But nowadays, it's kind of makes a little bit more sense if you're trying to avoid vandalism. You can see this Model 3 has Audi badging on it. This Model 3 has Honda badging, and so on. Mazda on a Model S. You even have
that one I like, yeah.
Toyota on the back of a Cybertruck on the tailgate. So, totally looks like a Toyota now. Sure. And so, once again, Mazda and Honda and all that. But it's just, it's people going, hey, how can I blend in? And hopefully you don't do anything to my car.
I will say, though, like, for the first, 3 months of driving the Cybertruck when we first got it, like, and when it was, like, the height of, like, everyone, nobody saw these on the road before and that whole business, we were, like, obviously I got people that were, like, upset, but it was never at the level that it's at right now.
And no.
It's almost like the people that were upset then felt like more like people that just didn't like EVs because it wasn't gas vehicles kind of stuff. And even then they were very polite. They just wanted to chat and they were just curious. I mean, I literally only had one person flip me off on the road and I didn't have a chance to even, interact with them. So it was just kind of a drive-by flipping. But still, people were much more cordial back then. And now that it seems to be politicized, now it's all hell's broken loose.
Oh, yeah. And I see it in my comments on my videos. It's all over the place. People yelling at me. Once again, a few weeks ago, I'm in Glamis. We're off-roading. We have a 16, 18 Cybertrucks, something like that. And you get people coming by on their side-by-sides or in their Raptors or whatever they're off-roading. And you get some people coming and doing thumbs up. And then you get some people that, you could just tell they didn't really do anything to us. I didn't hear anybody say anything to us, but, and actually in my video, which comes out tomorrow, you'll see early in the video, I'm talking and there's a big lifted truck that drives behind me and he just revs his engine and he's got a big exhaust on it and it's, and so, he's clearly aiming that towards us. So
yeah,
it's fine, but I'm okay with that. All that, I'm okay with, if you want to flip me off, go ahead, flip me off. I'm fine. You want to rev your engine, go ahead, rev your engine. I'm fine. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I had a big rig honk at me and he was shaking his head. That's fine. If that's what if I get you that upset, fine. But when you go and you start touching people's property, start doing things to people's cars, now that's a whole other, now you're in a whole other category.
Yeah. The revving actually makes me think, I don't know if I had talked about it briefly, but the Lightning Platinum specifically has the engine noise in artificial engine noise, which it still makes me laugh to this day. Cause it's like, you'll be driving along and you press the gas and you hear it go, like it revs up like it you would, and it revs down as you like slow down too. So like it's tried to like mimic what it would sound like as a truck. But I'm curious, because of how the Cybertruck did away with the actual like physical air horn, and they now have like a speaker horn. Even like our Foundation trucks, the early ones did have an air horn with it, because they weren't sure if they were able to get it approved. Because it's like, okay. I think it's a NHTSA thing or something they needed to get approved.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But since it's a speaker, I wonder if they could eventually come out with an update to give it some engine noises, if you so wish.
I don't see why not.
If any of the Teslas, it would make more sense on the Cybertruck, but
it'd be kind of fun. Let me ask you though, how do you like that? Do you have that turned on? Do you like the artificial engine noise, or do you like the quiet of just, or the hum of the motors?
I leave it turned. Actually, I don't hear the motors. If I turn that off, the motors are really quiet. You don't hear anything. Compared to the Cybertruck. If anything, I hear the motor of the AC more than the truck. But I just leave it on because I think it's hilarious. But I mean, it's something to hear. But it's funny because it's psychologically, if I'm not thinking about it, I do forget that, oh wait, this is an EV. So I think there is something to it that I think they did it on purpose. And honestly, they should have went like full swing and put it on all other EVs, not just like the top trim, you know, as like a cool add-on. But I think it would be a nice feature for people that are like EV curious and still not sure about jumping ship yet.
So the Lightning, it's only on the top trim?
Yeah, it's only on the Platinum.
Interesting. That is interesting. I wonder.
It's Ford. They, you know how they do. They like, wow. What can we chop down
to get a base trim? Let's be real. It's all of them. You know, that's true. It's pretty much all of them.
Speaking of, have you test drove anything yet?
I have not, to be honest with you. I'm actually going this weekend. Mm-hmm. See, I'm always busy with my kids and my son specifically. He plays travel basketball, and I mean, 2 weekends ago we were in Arizona. Last weekend we were in Las Vegas. Now this weekend we have the weekend off. So Saturday is my plan. I want to go try to look at stuff. Because a little update, when I went to Arizona, I drove both trips, Arizona and Las Vegas, I drove the Jeep, the 4x4, 5.5 hour drive to Arizona. When I got to the parking lot, I got out, we had some friends there, parents of my son's teammate, and I got out and I literally looked at them and I was like, yeah, I can't do that. I can't do these long trips without my Cybertruck. Like, there's no way, you know, I miss. That's one thing I'll tell you. The thing that I didn't think I would miss the most is FSD.
That's interesting.
I've always said going into buying the Cybertruck, it was kind of like, oh, I'm forced to get FSD. I've had FSD on my Model 3, never really used it. I'm not going to pay $8,000, $12,000, whatever the price was at the time. I'm not going to spend the money on that. I have no interest in doing that. I like driving, so I'll drive. It's okay. Man, do I miss FSD. And my son, we're always running around, practices, training sessions, all that type of stuff. He tells me, well, Dad, just like in the Jeep, he'll tell me, Dad, just put the car and let it drive itself. This car doesn't have that. I can't do it. And it's funny because it took me probably 2 hours into my drive to Arizona to figure out how to use the adaptive cruise control on the Jeep.
Oh no.
Because there's all these buttons for the cruise control. And it's like, there's no clear instructions of, okay, you have to press this one first, then this one second, and then make your adjustments here.
Yep.
So I was messing with, I probably the first, to be fair, 45 minutes, I was just driving. And then I finally went, oh shoot, the car has cruise control. Let me try to figure this out. And I couldn't figure it out. And then probably around the 2 hour, 2.5 hour mark into the drive, I finally figured it out. And I was like, okay, now I have adaptive cruise control. That helped. But it's not FSD, as we all know.
It's my gripe about the Ford too, because it is kind of like a step button. Because it's, you can have some of the features on all the roads, but not all of the feature on every road, because it's only, the Blue Cruise is only on like mapped highways. But you have to, it's like you have to have the lane assist on, and then you do the cruise control on, and then if it's both of those are good, and then it'll activate Blue Cruise after like a minute.
Yeah,
it's weird,
all these steps. And that is what I'm curious and interested in as I go down this journey of trying to find my next vehicle, which I need to figure out sooner than later because I'm going up to the Bay Area in early April and I need to have my new car by then. So I can't do the Jeep. But that's going to be probably one of the things at the top of my list is how well is the cruise control, you know, autonomous driving features in whatever car I get, you know, and everybody kind of has their own little version of it. I know for a fact nothing's going to be better than FSD. I know that, but that's going to be one of the things on my list of, okay, I'm going to probably have three or four things where it's like, I need to have these things or at least close to these things, you know, whatever their version is, it has to be as close as possible. And then obviously I'm going to have some other things, but so I'm going to find out this weekend. I'm going out, not 100% sure what cars I'm going to go look at this weekend, but I think where I'm going to start is the Hummer and the Sierra EV and take a look at those. And then, see how they perform, how they stack up.
Hot off the presses from an hour ago, that Cybertruck has said that if you're looking for a 60-month lease or 60-month loan term, they're offering 1.99 APR on Cybertrucks now.
They are. And I was going to get into some of that. Not that necessarily, but I'm glad you pulled that up. But I was going to talk about something I found. So I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. One thing I noticed was on, because, you know, I'm an active car shopper these days, the Cybertruck lease payment went up. Remember, it was $749.
Yep.
Now it's $899.
Weird.
So that's not cool. You know, so more than likely, I'm going to lease because I'm going to be real. I'm really intrigued by the Scout. And so what I want is I want to give myself some flexibility. I know I can buy and in 3 years or whatever, it's going to be three to four years, maybe I'll have some equity in the car and I can sell it and, you know, I should be fine. But I think what probably makes the most sense right now, and I haven't made my decision yet, is I'm leaning towards leasing. Looking at this, you know, I've been looking at the Cybertruck and just kind of, you know, looking at the inventory and seeing what's out there. And I came across the fact that the lease payment went up.
It is interesting.
I go, oh no, that's not, you know, that's not good for me. You know, if it was $749, now it's $899. That's $150.
Yeah.
And
it's still seven grand down.
I'm the worst person in the world when it comes to this type of stuff. If I go to the store and let's just say, toilet paper, certain brand that I like or whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. And it's $5 off. It's normally $30 and today it's $25. And I go, I don't need it today. So I'll just, you know, next time I come. The next time I come, 3 days later, it's back to $30. I won't buy it. Because I'll go, it was $25 just a few days ago. It'll be $25 again. I need to wait. And so, you know, right now with this lease payment, I'm like, if I was to decide to go with the Cybertruck again, it's like I need to wait till it's back to $749. And I don't know if it'll ever be back to $749.
Yeah.
So that's kind of threw me for a loop. I was hoping that was going to stay a little bit longer until I made my decision because that would help make my decision. But maybe not. I don't know. Time will tell.
Can't find the link, but I do remember seeing this last week. People are talking about a lot of the... There was a lot of trucks in inventory. They were getting discounted, like even up to like 6,000.
Yes. In discounts. So I've seen some trucks in my area. Here, I could pull this thing up again. If you go to the inventory, as a matter of fact, did you see this? When you click on Tesla or you type in Tesla.com, this comes up.
A what? Someone take their website down?
I don't know. Look, it even says down here eBay. What is eBay? They get hacked or something?
Tesla.com is working for me.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It doesn't work for me. I mean, once if I type in a specific, like, you know, like if I go to Google and I go Tesla.
No, it's working for me.
It'll pop up for me. But if I go here or something.
Because it was Forbes that had a big article last month, about a week and a half ago, that they're basically anticipating the EV tax credit to go away. But also mentioning about they're noticing like Cybertrucks are getting discounted as well.
Yeah, so if you,
between four and 6,000.
Yeah, if you click right here, I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not sure if you were on with us that day, but yeah, if you look right here, this one is 66,990. Obviously, it's giving that gas savings, but you take that off. Oh no, this one shows 79,99. Okay, that one didn't do it for me. Let me see. Oh, right here. See, these say reduced price. Yeah, so right here you could see there's a 6,180 price adjustment. But interesting as well, because this is a demo vehicle with almost 2,000 miles. You can't lease this.
There you go.
So you have to purchase it. So that
Probably would be their demos. But yeah, I see the one at the top too, the 66. It's wild. It's a great price. Oh, wait. It is. Price includes the EV tax credit and the gas savings. Nah, shoot. Yeah, you're right. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, it's. You know, anybody that's shopping, you got to pay attention to all that stuff because it's, you know,
they know what they're doing.
They put a lot of savings in there,
but so. We're getting close. Like, that's where I'm saying, like, people that are buying these in the 70s that go to sell even a year from now are going to be selling them used to a dealership in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, no, 100%.
So, it's a matter of time. But I mean, I will say my son, even tonight getting out of the truck, he was like, I really love this truck. Talking about
okay,
the
good. That's really good. So he's forgetting about the Cybertruck.
Maybe. But I mean, we still see Cybertrucks all the time. So it's like, yeah, he's all
happy.
About it.
He's happy though.
Well, hopefully we can take him off road on the, you know, the rodeo. See what he thinks then.
Yeah. Jay's in chat. He's asking, do we get the $7,500 tax credit? Well, that's now available for new Cybertrucks.
Yes.
All right.
We did
so
not.
For us, we no longer have Cybertrucks, but for you, Jay, you got yours last year. No, you do not qualify for it. Now, I do hear that if you have it under your business, that you can do something there.
I've heard about that too.
So go talk to a CPA is what my recommendation. CPA. Yeah, would be my recommendation to.
We can't give you any official advice, but I will confirm that I've heard that some things too.
No, no. Yeah, so if you have a business, you're using it for business reasons, talk to a CPA is what I would say.
Like Turo.
And let, you know, YouTube. So, you know, you could see. Oh, see, now Jay's saying the 179. Yes, Jay.
That's a random number.
Yeah, section 179, 100%. If you don't know what that is, once again, go see your CPA, ask him, tell him you got a Cybertruck, and you want to explore section 179. And I'm sure he will know exactly what that is, and he will walk you through whether or not you can use that. Yeah, needed it. So I wanted to talk about some cool, you know, we're always talking about superchargers and supercharging locations and the evolution of superchargers. And so one thing that actually Will sent us this week was the fact that Tesla and Steak and Shake are working together. There's not really many Steak and Shakes out my way. Actually, there's a map down here that you can see right here. There's not very many near me.
There's a couple.
But
I'm a bigger fan because obviously, like in the middle of that, like Big Sea of Red, that's where I grew up. So okay. I'm a huge fan of Steak and Shake.
So perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be building a Tesla supercharging stalls at Steak and Shake locations. As you can see here, there's already 6 sites signed already with 20 plus sites in design review. And as you can see, the official Steak and Shake X account says, thank you, Tesla Charging. Let's do over 100 locations. Consider all sites approved. So Steak and Shake is fully in with Tesla and wants to get these, you know, superchargers locations at their, you know, restaurants. So that's really cool. That's something that, you know, because I've complained about that before about how a lot of just EV charging stations are always kind of like in the back corner somewhere in a weird parking garage or something. You got to walk a distance to get to, you know, something. And, you know, just being able to park and then just get out of your car like normal and just, you know, within 10 feet, get into a restaurant. I mean, that's the ideal situation, right?
Right. So, I'll see if I can find it, but I vaguely remember there's one specifically at a, I posted about it. There's one at a brewery that's like one of my favorite breweries in town that it's right in the parking lot. And I think they give you, they give you a discount or some kind of like perk inside of the brewery if you show proof that you're charging.
Nice.
Like, I think Shake Shack could easily do the same thing, like where, whether it's like a free milkshake or whatnot. I mean, easy, easy peasy stuff to do right there. And Steak Shake is more like the fast casual sit down restaurant, so like you can get in and out and still be okay on charging time pretty quick.
No, that's cool. And I'm hoping that more and more of these eateries start, you know, getting on board with stuff like that just to kind of, you know, make things easier for people. Okay. Speaking of making things easier, I know something that we saw at the RoboTaxi event was the wireless charging pad.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a little bit more information that's come out recently. I believe on a podcast, what was the podcast? On the Ride the Lightning podcast, Lars was on there and he was talking about, you know, remember the snake arm, the robotic mm-hmm. arm that charges your Tesla? So you don't need to get out of the car and actually plug in your car to charge.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about that. He was just talking about how Tesla's in talks and in the stages, I guess, in the process of making things easier for Tesla owners when they get to a supercharging location. And he's saying with the V4 superchargers and the technology and everything that they have put into it, that it's making it easier for them to where hopefully in the near future, they're going to be able to have the ability to where you just back in or pull into a supercharging stall. And whether it's one of those arms coming and plugging in your car, or it's has a wireless pad that you just drive over and your car will start charging. And they're really trying to simplify and automate the charging process for Tesla owners, which I think is really cool.
I think Will even said it like way back in an older podcast that that would be the future, like having your parking lot just to have those pads and you just go park your car and it charges for you. Makes too much sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you know, that's why we love Will. Will's got all the
good ideas. It's got to be lower speeds though, because like I can't imagine like going and parking at like an HEB or the grocery store and like spending 30 minutes, 40 minutes in there and like getting charged overage fees. Like it's got to be slow enough or it's like it's just a trickle charge.
Yeah, I think it would probably be something like at a location like that where they know you're going to be in there for probably 45 minutes at least.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe a slower speed, but you know, maybe off the highway on the traditional route that's popular for road trips, then you know, you want that extremely fast speed. But we'll totally see. But I just love the fact that, you know, Tesla's always innovating. They're always pushing it and they're always, you know, trying to make the experience as easy as possible for the vehicle owners. So I love that. I think that's, you know, something that's really great. And speaking of supercharging and the NACS or NACS, as we learned mm-hmm. from Amir, that actually won one of Motor Trend's awards of technology or tech of the year, as well as steer by wire for the Cybertruck. So, you know, as we've talked about, we've, you know, had many discussions about how the NACS is becoming the industry standard, which is fantastic from the standpoint of, you know, not needing adapters and not needing to deal with all that stuff. And then, you know, the Cybertruck with steer by wire, which is, you know, once again, one of the things that's going to be on my list of when I go look at these other cars, none of them are going to have steer by wire. I know that, but you know, steer by wire made driving easy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I go test these other vehicles, like how do they feel? Because I don't, you know, I know none of them are going to feel as good as a Cybertruck, but you know, how close can they get?
Yeah. The only one I think you could, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on, I actually want to try it too, is the Denali. Because it has the four-wheel steering. Like, that's the closest we're going to get with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, with the Cybertruck having four-wheel steering and, like, steer-by-wire, it's game-changing.
It's it's, and I'm glad that Motor Trend did that. I'm glad that they gave them that award and the kudos of giving them Tech of the Year for Steer by Wire, because it's, you can't say enough about it. You know, I always tell everybody when as you know, we were talking about earlier, you get out of the car and some guy walks up to you and go, "Oh man, your car's ugly," or, you know, whatever they say, you know, or they say, "This is super cool." One of the first questions is, "How do you like it?" And I always tell people, when you drive one, you will quickly understand why people want this car.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is one of the best driving vehicles I've ever owned, because it's just, it's fantastic. You know, especially for a truck, when that's the thing for me, is that that's when it blows my mind. It's like, it drives amazing. But then when you think about it and you go, it's a truck and it does all these truck things, it's crazy. It's just, it's mind blowing. It's really, really crazy. So,
yeah, I was like, especially if I'm sitting at a stoplight, I would be like, yeah, look at the back wheels. And I would turn it, the back wheels would turn and like, they were like, whoa, because not too many vehicles even do that on the road either.
No, very, very few.
And then anytime I would have like a renter sitting in the driver's seat, that's the first thing I'd do. Like, all right, we'll step on the brake pedal, turn the wheel all the way until you can't. And they'll go, whoop.
Yeah.
And then you would feel them like want to do like the overhand, and they would get it right away. They're like, oh, I don't have to actually do that.
Yep. No. And I think I talked about it a few weeks ago that one of my buddies owns a Silverado. And when I took him and I did a video with him, when I took him driving, I had him do a U-turn. And when he did it, he was just like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And because he owns Silverado, and he goes, there's no way I could have done that U-turn with my truck.
Right.
The fact that I was able to do it with your truck, which is about the same size, that's crazy. It's wild.
With one finger. Just
whoop. You could literally do it with one finger, 100%. PowerShare update. There was a PowerShare update from Tesla, from the official Cybertruck X account, which, by the way, shared Chase's jumping video of the Cybertruck.
Check it out.
So they talk about the PowerShare here. We'll kind of go through it. It says PowerShare home backup has been enabled for customers who have solar in their home's backup circuit. This feature enables you to use solar energy to power your home and charge your Cybertruck during an outage. I like how they put me in parentheses. So that's cool. That's cool that it's finally, because I know that was like they had some complications with that when you had a solar system and then you're adding the PowerShare. There's some issues there. So now that's no longer. It should work perfectly fine now.
I guess that's a big benefit for you because you still have the hardware installed, right?
I have the hardware installed, but it's not Edison, which is my electric company, hasn't activated it. So there's something back there. I don't even know what it is. It's in a bag. And it's in a bag, and I could see through the bag that there's a light, like, blinking. And the electrician, when he came out and installed it, he said, just leave that alone. Don't touch it. Don't mess with it. Edison will show up. They'll take whatever those components are out of the bag, and they'll do what they need to do to, like, turn your system on, turn on the PowerShare. Well, that bag is still back there, and Edison has never come to do anything. And remember, in I think it was June or July, I received an email from Tesla stating that Edison pretty much hasn't approved the activation for me. And so they gave me the credit. That's when they gave me free supercharging for 1 year.
Hmm.
And to this day, I still don't have it. It never got turned on for me. So I'm hoping maybe some of this will fix that, but I'm not sure because I know it's my power company that's kind of having the issue. So,
right.
Well, I don't know.
Something I've been actually looking into with the Lightning, because that's kind of the big downside, is their like official PowerShare type equipment. It's just too expensive for what you're getting out of it. However, there's kind of an alternative that I've seen a lot of Lightning users do, and it's basically just install their own generator switch from an electrician and then run the 240 volt out of the bed to the house and doing it that way.
Oh, interesting.
Which, in theory, you could also do with the Cybertruck, and I would be curious to see someone to try that, but it wouldn't be as efficient, obviously, but it could be another way to, like, you know, I don't want to use this term because he gets too much credit in other ways, but jerry-rig it into,
yeah,
into another way to do it.
Well, you're a Ford guy now, so now you can say that, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sponsor by Ford.
Yeah, that would, and I'm sure that would be a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
To do it that way.
Maybe $1,000 for an electrician to install one of those.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But this tweet, I guess we would call it, goes on to say, also, PowerShare Home Backup has been enabled for customers who have Backup Switch Plus are in approved utility. See, there goes that approved utility thing. I don't know. Mm. If you're waiting to complete your Backup Switch installation, please reach out to your installer, which I'm actually going to reach out to my installer to ask about the, because I haven't talked to them in a while. So I'm going to ask them about my situation.
Definitely. But
lastly, it says, for Powerwall owners, PowerShare will be enabled for customers with Wall Connector 3 or Universal Wall Connectors in Q3 of 2025. Some news and updates on PowerShare. Hopefully, I can get mine working soon, even though I don't even have a Cybertruck anymore. But at least,
I mean, that would be a big selling point for you, though. If you're stuck between, you know, Denali EV and a Cybertruck, and you're like, that could be like, well, I have PowerShare ready to go.
It would be huge, and that's kind of went into my whole, you know, decision to get rid of it. You know, obviously, mm-hmm. number one factor was my inverters, and you know, the frustrations there. You know, number two was the fact that Tesla was really making me whole by making me a great offer.
Right.
And then, you know, and then also things like that. Like I paid, you know, $2,500 for PowerShare and never was able to use it. Never was it able to even like just see what it can do. It was always it was never turned on for me. And so it just, you know, it's frustrating.
I will say, I mean, speaking of the Denali as well, because I know the Denali is doing it as well as the Ram. Like a lot of these other EV trucks are catching on to the idea that, oh, we can just power the home.
Yeah.
And they're having their own kind of home setup as well. So,
yeah.
If you go,
I don't want to pay for another system, though, if I don't need to.
I don't know.
But yeah.
They're saying it's for 21 days. I mean, that's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. Well, speaking about my situation, since my video went live, I've got a lot of people giving me a lot of really cool suggestions, a lot of positive feedback, people showing me a lot of support. So I appreciate that. But Ram Charger seems to be like the lead horse. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a lot of people telling me to wait for that.
Yeah.
My response to them, and I've been responding to as many people as I can, my response to them is, I'm really open to that. I just don't know how long, you know, what that timeline looks like.
Yeah.
You know, because it just says 2025, I believe.
Or when price. Is that? Have we had or heard?
No.
Any official price,
no price. And there's no price. No official price and no official, like, release date or timeline.
And knowing it's a classic vehicle company, they're probably going to even cut down all the trims as well. So you probably could even get a cheaper version that doesn't even have the generator, I would assume. So who knows?
Yeah. No, it's, let me see. I'm going to show it right here. Ram Charger again for anybody that's interested. Yeah, this thing. I'm really intrigued by it. I'm
impressive numbers for sure.
Yeah. No, 100%. The payload, the range, obviously. I know it has the gas generator. I know I did get some comments about that. Like, why would you, isn't that counterproductive? If you're an EV person, why would you want a gas gen? I'm not exclusive to anything. I just want something that's cool and fun and, you know, does the job. And so I don't care if it's, you know.
Yeah. I think, you know, EVs are a superior vehicle, not because it's saving the planet or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there's just so many benefits that you get either off-road or on-road that you can't get with a gas vehicle.
I'm excited about this. I just would love to find out more and get some kind of a better timeline of what's happening. See, right here it just says coming 2025. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, this weekend I'm going out to go check out some vehicles and see, you know, what's out there and how they stack up.
There was one thing that I keep thinking about, because the speed of the lightning off the off the bat is about the same as the Cybertruck, but it's Cybertruck dual motor specifically, but it feels different. And I was just wondering about that today, actually, before the podcast, is like, if there's a difference between like the torque, and it's not necessarily that it has more torque in the Cybertruck, but I'm just thinking that the Cybertruck's motors are just that much more responsive than what Ford is using. Because like Ford's, it's saying they've got like 775 foot-pounds of torque. Cybertruck is anywhere from 512 to 683 on the Beast. So it doesn't make any sense that the torque is that low, but the engines are just that much more just responsive.
Well, I think it just goes into, I mean, Tesla's been doing this for a long time,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is what they do. And so they have everything dialed in from that standpoint, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, all the legacy automakers, Ford and Chevy and, you know, Dodge Ram, you know, they're all playing catch up, trying to figure this all out. And so, yeah, I believe that even if the numbers are in Ford's favor, let's just say, it's not going to outperform.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Because it definitely doesn't, like, I can't be going, whatever, 50 miles an hour and then slam on the pedal and have it still sink you back into your seat like it does in the Cybertruck. Like, it definitely feels more like a gas vehicle. Maybe that's on purpose. Maybe
it could be.
They're trying to make it feel a little bit more like a gas truck, which I could totally see them doing. And this is even talking about like sport mode, which is supposed to be more responsive, but even then it's still a little sluggish, but it's still quick. I like it, but it's not the Cybertruck.
And those are all the things that I'm going to be kind of paying attention to. Right. Mm-hmm. When I go look at all these things, it's like, okay, you're electric, but how do you stack up, you know, and, you know, how's the takeoff, the launch, how's the mm-hmm. driving performance and all that. So,
yeah,
you know, I think that's where I mentioned, you know, the unique perspective, the unique opinions that I can provide, because it's like, I owned the Cybertruck for over a year. And so I know what that truck feels like. And so now every time I get into something else, I can really give that immediate input of, yeah, no, this isn't it, or mm-hmm. okay, it's close, you know, or it's outperforming, you know. We'll find out.
I don't know,
but other than that, that's all I have, Chase. I don't know if you had anything else that you wanted to share.
I think that's about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear about this Ram Charger more. I want to see what's going on with that.
Well, if they don't let us know something in the next 2 or 3 weeks,
we won't have anything to talk about.
I think I need to make my decision, so we'll find out. So
cool.
But for everyone that joined us this week, I appreciate you guys, and we'll catch you guys next week. Hopefully we have Will next week. So
yeah, I think so.